Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
What a pleasure it is to be back tonight. This has just been such a wonderful day for me, and I want to thank Andrew and the elders here for giving me the opportunity to come back and to worship with you today. It's just really been a special day for me. I was thinking a moment ago about that handrail. For years, it wasn't there, and I didn't think we needed it. I remember Brother Collins, Brother Willard Collins, used to come and preach the first Sunday of the year, I don't know, for 20 or 30 years, it seems like. And during his latter visits, it was suggested that that rail be put up there. Brother Collins was having just a little difficulty navigating the steps. I thought, poor fella. That is a nice rail. It's been a good day, and I thank Dennis and Billie Jean for being so kind to take me out to lunch today, and then to get to meet so many friends from the past, and then to meet some new folks. I still think this is one of the finest congregations in all of our brotherhood, and I pray that you'll continue to stay faithful to the Lord, and I'm sure you will. The text tonight, if you'd like to read with me, is from 1 Samuel, 12th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, in verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. That verse is part of Samuel's address to Israel on the occasion of his relinquishing the government to King Saul. Samuel's an old man. He's the last of the judges. He's an old man now. His sons are not good boys, not good men. And the Israelites come to Samuel and they say, "We want to have a king." And one of the excuses they gave for wanting a king was to be like the nations around them. I can imagine Samuel being hurt. After all, he had spent his entire lifetime as an adult serving the people, serving God, being the judge over the people. And now they're coming to him and saying, "We don't want you anymore, and we want to have a king like the other nations all around us." However, God said to Samuel, "Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me." And you know, brethren, any time we change God's order, we're not rejecting men, we're rejecting God. And so it's a good advice for us to realize that we are to follow the teaching and the directions of the Lord in all we do. Well, God advised Samuel to comply with the wish of the Israelites. However, he did not approve it, but he did allow it. At the same time, he warned them, there are going to be some bad consequences when you have a king. And of course, that was fulfilled, and later the people were sad that they had ever asked for a king. It was much more difficult on them. But God usually allows a man to do what he wants to do. He warns us of the consequences if we disobey him, but he's not going to stop us. When Adam and Eve decided to eat of the forbidden fruit, God did not stop them. But again, he let them know there would be consequences. If a man wants to jump off a bridge and drown himself in the river, God's not going to send angels to catch him and stop him. But whether you're talking about it in the spiritual realm or in the material realm, it is true, we reap what we sow. And so they've asked for a king. He's going to let them have that king, but they're going to reap some consequences that they never dreamed of. Now, as you go on in this text from 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and you come down to verse 16, Samuel has called Israel together, and he's going to deliver a speech to them. I don't think you can really call it a farewell speech, because he's simply turning over the governmental aspects of what he had been doing. But he's called Israel together, and he is going to speak to them. So beginning in verse 16. Now therefore stand still and see this great thing which Jehovah will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto Jehovah, that he may send thunder and rain. And ye shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in asking for a king. So Samuel called upon Jehovah, and Jehovah sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared Jehovah and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto Jehovah thy God, that he die that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. There's several interesting things about what Samuel has just said to them. It's not unusual for it to thunder and to rain in that part of the world. But it was very unusual for it to do it this particular time. He points out it's harvest time. And it just didn't rain at that time of the season, of the year. Doubtless some of you have traveled to the Bible lands. I think Andrew took a group not long ago. I used to enjoy taking groups to the Bible lands. But we never go in the rainy season. We try to go during the time of year when there would be good weather. But when it became rainy season, areas that looked like they were complete desert, gullies out in the desert in the sand, could become floodwaters. I've seen in the desert around Israel signs in certain places that said, beware, caution, floodwaters. And I thought to myself, the sun is shining, it's hot as fire, this is, we're in the desert, and they're saying, beware the water. But people have drowned in those gullies and wadis during the rainy season. So it was very unusual for it to rain at the time Samuel is speaking to them. And they understand that it indicated that God listened to Samuel and that he was answering Samuel's prayer. And now they beg Samuel to pray for them, that their sin would be forgiven. They said, we've added to our sins asking for this king. Human nature doesn't change a lot, does it? So many times in life there are those who defy God, turn their back on him, until some tragedy comes in life. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's some financial problem. There are so many things, but suddenly we think we need God. And people who have had nothing to do with God, no concern about him, defied him, suddenly become those on their knees praying to him for help. And that's what Israel was doing here on this occasion. But now, at this point, let's notice just a few things that Samuel says to them. The thunder and the rain has ceased. And now he's going to say just a few more things to them. He said, only fear Jehovah and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. First thing he said was, fear Jehovah. Does God really want us to fear him? Isn't he a God of love? Isn't he a God of mercy? Does he want us to be afraid of him? Well, there's a statement that Solomon makes. It's in Proverbs 1 in verse 17. Solomon said, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Well, really the idea of fearing Jehovah is that we respect him and we want to obey him. We're afraid to disobey him. But it's a matter of respect as well. It's not unlike the way we were when we were children. We weren't afraid of mother and daddy. We didn't mind running and jumping up in their lap. We weren't afraid of them. But if we had done something they said don't do, then you wanted to go the opposite direction. You were afraid of them in that sense. But the interesting thing about that is that kind of fear develops in us a respect and a love for our parents. And likewise, when we fear God and we obey him, it develops in us a respect for God and a love for God. Psalm 19:9, the fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. When Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, they ran from the presence of God. They were afraid now. Earlier they had been with Him, walked, as it were, in the garden, talked with God. But now they have sinned, and they're afraid of Him. They're fearful. They had lost that relationship that they had had. But prior to that, they had not minded being in the presence of God. But now notice the next four words that Samuel uses. He said, "Only fear Jehovah and serve Him in truth." That's really the only way we can serve God acceptably, is to serve Him in truth. But what does that really mean? Well, if you turn over to John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." And so Samuel is saying, serve God, but serve Him according to His word. There's some who do as they please a good bit of their life and not as God's word teaches. You know, there was even an occasion when Paul spoke to Peter just face to face, condemned him. This is over in Galatians 2:14. "When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Cephas before them all, If thou being a Jew, livest as do the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, how compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" But notice, he confronted him, and he said, "You're not serving God according to truth, Peter." And Samuel is saying to these people, serve Him according to truth, and it's His word that is truth. And then over in the Galatian letter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, Paul said this, "O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you that you should not obey the truth?" At one time they had obeyed Him, but they had drifted away from that. And so Samuel is saying to Israel, you must fear God, respect God, love God, walk according to His law, His truth, and God will bless you. That's still a good admonition for us, isn't it? To serve God according to His word, not according to our likes or dislikes, but according to truth. It's a good, timely admonition for all of us. But then he goes on and he adds one other little phrase to all of that. Only serve God, serve Him in truth. And then he said, with all your heart. We're to serve God according to His word, but we're to serve Him according to truth, but we're to serve Him with all of our heart. Paul said on one occasion that we're to obey the gospel from the heart. Romans 16 and verse 17, serve Him from the heart. And Jesus said in the 22nd chapter of Matthew in the 37th verse, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and all thy mind. There were some who were not serving God with all of their heart. You can go back through the Old Testament and you'll find numerous examples. For instance, Solomon, wisest man who ever lived. He was such a humble young man that God gave him great wisdom as well as treasures. And yet as time went on, Solomon married heathen wives, and they turned away his heart from God, and Solomon actually built idols in Jerusalem. Notice this statement in 1 Kings 11 and verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father. Again, Samuel is saying, serve God with all your heart. David didn't do that in his old age. And then there's another statement just in that same area, 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, first two verses. Abijah reigned over Judah, and he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God. And the whole point of that is he's just telling the people, only an undivided heart is going to please the Lord. That's all he'll accept. The devil would be happy to have just a little bit of our heart. But God said, I want all of your heart. It's that or nothing. He won't take a small part of it, the majority of it. He wants it all. Now, why would Samuel say all of this to them? It's going to take some effort if they do what Samuel has said here. Only serve God, fear God, serve Him in truth, according to His will, with all of your heart. And of course, that's what we need to do. But why? Why was he saying that to Israel on this occasion? Well, Samuel goes on and tells them why. Consider how great things he's done for you. Israel, just remember, just think about what God's done for you. Had he not brought them out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage? Had he not brought them across the Red Sea on dry land? Had he not protected them from their enemies as they went through the wilderness? Had he not provided manna for them as they made that long journey? Had he not destroyed their enemy in Egypt? Had he not fed them with manna as they came through the wilderness? Had he not taken care of them, given them water, quail, manna? Had he not protected them from their enemies as they traveled on their way to the promised land? Had he not safely carried them across the Jordan River? Had he not given them victories as they came into the land of promise, drove the enemy out? Had not God been with them on that occasion? Then he was giving them this land flowing with milk and honey. And so Samuel was saying, do this, just remember what God's done for you. And folks, isn't that appropriate for us to stop and think what God has done for us? The air that we breathe, the food that we eat, our families, our loved ones, our houses, our raiment, so many things beyond what we can really grasp. Happiness, health, on and on the list goes. Consider what God has done for us. And so as we listen to Samuel's advice, it's so appropriate for us. Only fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth according to His word. With all your heart. For consider what great things He hath done for you. So we as Christians would do well. We must remember what He's done for us as well. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Let us, meaning Christians, fear therefore lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. Let's don't follow the example of Israel. One of the sad things about this whole story is that Samuel has given them wonderful advice, but Israel didn't follow it. And as time went on, God allowed foreign kings to come in and capture them and take them into foreign lands, captivity. Many of them never saw their homeland again. They just did not do what Samuel told them to do on this occasion. Look again at what he says. Fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. I wish I had the ability to impress on all of us, myself, the importance of doing what Samuel has suggested here, the wisdom and the solemnity of this good counsel, and that we are willing to follow it. I don't know, sometimes when things are going well, we just kind of want to do our own thing. But let's never forget what God has done for us. I hate to think about it, but there's a strong possibility that even among us in this assembly tonight, there may be some of us who will fall short and not enter our promised land. if indeed we do not take the heed to the advice that Samuel has given. And let's remember that it's an individual matter. In one sense of the word, our eternal happiness is in our own hands. God has done his part. He's given his Son. Jesus has made the great sacrifice for our sins. The Holy Spirit has guided the apostles as we have his word in the Bible. Now it's up to us. We have the choice of whether or not we're going to fear God, respect him, love him with all of our hearts, and live the kind of life he wants us to have. And then the happy part is we can enter into that rest. Our promised land far exceeds anything Israel ever dreamed of. God help us to stay faithful to him. And if you're not a Christian, to come to him. Don't let time pass. I can remember being a young man and quoting James, life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It does. It does. And it'll happen to you young people much, much faster than you can even begin to imagine. And so we need to use the opportunities and the time that we have to serve the Lord, to respect him, to serve him with all of our heart, as we consider all he's done for us. If you're subject to his invitation tonight, we'd encourage you to come as together we stand and as we sing.